TBRI.
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 TOVD.
TBRI.
TBRI. Trust-based relational intervention.
TBRI is an attachment-based
trauma-informed intervention
that is designed to meet the complex needs
of vulnerable children.
TBRI uses empowering principles
to address physical needs,
connecting principles for attachment needs,
and correcting principles to disarm fear-based behaviors.
While TBRI is based on years of attachment, sensory processing, and neuroscience research,
the heartbeat of TBRI is connection.
Hello and welcome to the TBRI podcast. You are listening to a special bonus episode. On this show, we talk all about trust-based relational intervention, or TBRI. We talk about different elements of the model itself, and also about how TBRI is applied in various systems of care and practice. Today, we are back for a special holiday edition of the TBRI Coffee Chat series with our beloved Kimberly Glotty. So, if you are listening in real time around the time that this episode released, here in the United States, we are right in the thick of the holiday season. We are recording on a chilly day in late November, and our biggest hope for this episode is that you get some practical ideas, some tools for navigating the holidays with kiddos who may struggle, but also that you get a healthy dose of compassion, that you hear empathy in these words, and that you feel seen and heard and understood, and you know that you're not alone this holiday season, even in the hard stuff. So we just want to thank you for joining us today for this special bonus episode, but also just listening to the podcast. We've had a wonderful year, and we're just grateful for every listener, for every comment we get, for each new episode, and we're just so grateful to be able to share TBRI with you in this way. So without any further delay, please enjoy this special bonus episode with Kimberly Glotty and Sarah Mercado.
I am so dang happy to see you today. Thank you for being here.
Friend.
I have missed you.
Happy belated Thanksgiving, early Christmas, Kwanzaa, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, all the things that are coming.
Happy all of them. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump in. We know that the holidays can be tricky for a whole lot of reasons, right? Like, holidays are tricky if you aren't parenting kids who've experienced trauma, if you aren't working in a system where you're serving kids who've experienced trauma. Holidays can be tricky in the average Joe family, right? Mm-hmm. So with that, layering on parenting with, working with, serving kids or families who are navigating a traumatic history during this time, what the heck are we going to do? What do we do? But let's just start. The five B's. As I'm going into this, and I should warn you about something. I am a big holiday person. I like to go big. I like the celebration.
Yes, Sarah.
It does not fit within the rest of my, I get it.
I would not have guessed.
I love it. My kids cannot wait because they know I have probably already gone overboard. If I'm thinking about kids who've experienced trauma, and I am that parent who is me, and I have these wonderful expectations, let's just start at the basics. Mm-hmm. What do I need to consider with the five B's? Brain, biology, behavior, belief system, body.
Yeah. And I know you asked me the five B's, and I'm going to do that. But it's a really, I would even say it's about mindfulness, because your experience and how you honor, celebrate the holidays is just that. It's your experience and how you celebrate. But that might not be true for everyone. And I'm not even talking about people or kids with a history of harm. I think it's all of us who have different windows of tolerance. I was literally just at my sister's house, and there was like red stuff and decorations everywhere. And while that was pleasurable and beautiful to her, I'm like, get me out of here. It's like too much going on.
Yeah.
Right. And so our experience is just that, our experience, and the person sitting next to us, the person we're talking to, the person who we're going to meet with, who's coming into our office, in our classroom, may have a very different experience based on and in relation to the five B's. And so I think it's about honoring that, especially for those of us who've been rocking with TBRI for a long time. Listen, now that we know better, we do better. Mm-hmm. And we have to be mindful of ourselves and others. So brain, right? The brain, right? We jump in.
Yeah.
The brain and all of the sensory input just by itself, the smells, the sounds, the level of noise, the pitches, all of that can be overstimulating. Wonderful to one. Some people might not even register as anything, but it can send people to a different space, and how they react is their body and their brain's ability to kind of regulate itself. And so being aware of that, watching for the behaviors, watching for the communication that's not words, that says, hey,
right,
this is too much. So you love it, right? I'm going to retreat.
Right.
I'm going to go into another room, maybe. I'm going to not have the Christmas lights on all the time. Those things like that.
Yep.
Right? Because it can be overstimulating.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, because I think what you said in the beginning, the mindfulness piece, is that, and me like making the announcement that I love it, saying that, and then if you walked into my home decorated for Christmas, you would be like, this doesn't match, because it is calmer. There aren't flashing things, nothing. I mean, there are lights on the Christmas tree, but there's not much else. You know, there's probably not going to be very loud music playing, right? Like, so even within the context of me thinking, I love it, I do all of these things, it's actually within my window of tolerance that I do them. And then I have to be mindful of others' windows of tolerance. If they're going to come into my home, and how is this going to impact them? Do we need to turn off the lights on the Christmas tree? Do we need to make them brighter, right? What do we need to do to help try to keep us all in our window of tolerance, which is very, very difficult. And I think when you said the brain, I thought, you know, like the we have this kind of rudimentary like triangle drawing that we share at trainings of the brain, which is silly. And it's not silly, but it's not an in-depth thing. It's very rudimentary, which is what I prefer. But you're talking about like all those that sensory input coming in through the thalamus, and our brain has to make a choice of, is that a threatening thing or not? And what us standing in the room and having the exact same experience does not necessarily connect for both of us to go up to our upstairs brain, right? So we can sit and have the same experience, and based on my history, that could send me to my downstairs brain, and nobody knows why. And maybe I don't even know why, right? So when we think about those sensory experiences combined with how the brain takes information, and then we either go upstairs or downstairs. And for many of our kids, there's massive trauma around the holidays, because there is so much stress. And so we should anticipate, I feel like, going in, that we are going to have dysregulation. Just expect it. Because if it's the smell, right? Like, you think about that calendar and how trauma comes up around the calendar, and we know, like, oh, during the season we might have more. We should just anticipate it at the holidays, I think.
Yes. And let's go even into the body. I remember, I don't know, it might've been early November, and I got the tireds, and I didn't have a reason to be tired. And it was over several days. And then the tireds turned into a little agitation. So it became a little short with people. And I said, oh, here it comes. Mm-hmm. Here it comes. My body is preparing for this holiday season that is a reminder of the loss of my parents. Mm-hmm. So I didn't will it. I wasn't really conscious of it, but we already know the body remembers. And it just started this very slow decline. And really, thank God I've been around TBRI and lots of people and lots of education. So I knew mm-hmm. I could name it so that I could tame it and take care of myself without apologies. I got what I needed to kind of get through that season. But I mean, that's the body. I'm like, mm-hmm. why am I sleepy? I had a great night's sleep. And it was just really slow and creepy.
So it's almost like with the mindfulness piece, we even have to be mindful into, I just got my third cup of coffee. What's going on? You know yeah. what I mean? Like whatever our connection is, if we're feeling, because we can feel disconnected from our bodies, no problem. Like we can run into autopilot and not pay attention to like, that's strange. I slept well, but I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. We might even think, oh, I wonder if I'm getting sick. Mm-hmm. But really our body's like almost preparing for the fight, flight or freeze. It's going to be necessary to make it through. However, it may not actually be necessary anymore. It just has been in the past.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Right. So our body's like prepping for something that it doesn't need to prep for. And then we have to have a place to put it.
Yeah.
So when we think about the body and dysregulation and what we can do to help with that, and you know, I think we're just going to chat through all this, but, you know, even might be one of my plans is that every day I know that my proprioceptive seeking kid is going to need even extra because their body is storing trauma that's going to pop up this time of year, no matter what. So we might need more trampoline time. We might need more heavy lifting time. We might just plan that they're going to carry heavy things around the house to quote unquote, help me to get that input. Because if I don't do that, I should expect dysregulation. If Absolutely. I don't meet that need to calm a body that doesn't know yet that it doesn't have to be stressed right now, then we're going to have dysregulation.
Absolutely. And going back to what you said, plan for it. Mm-hmm. Just go ahead and put it in the calendar, put it on the to-do list, extra of this, more of this. Johnny's going to go with me to the grocery store to push the cart, right? Whatever it is to get some of that energy out so that they don't have to feel that in their body later on in the day and have no explanation. They don't have to know because as their caregiver, I'm the detective and I'm aware and I'm going to help them even if they don't have the words to say it. So absolutely, plan for it.
Yeah. And I think as we continue to have our conversation, let's continue to pull those five B's in. This leads right into kind of what we were talking about. Let's just look through the lens of empowering. So if I'm a parent, one thing that I've had to like really be mindful of is remember, I have a lot of old school thinking around parenting that I experienced, the ways that I started parenting pre-TBRI. And so as I plan ahead, like you said, I'm going to build this into the schedule. Let's look through the empowering lens. And then I want us to like be very mindful that as we plan these things, they might be fun things. They should all be intentional about meeting needs, even if that need is for fun. But I think about regulation and I think about felt safety through the empowering lens. What are some ideas you have of things that we could just build in, but they don't get to be taken away? I think that's the one thing I want to make sure we say is like, it doesn't get to be taken away. It's not a treat to get to do things that help you with regulation. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. You know, what comes to mind really is about, we talk about this often when you just said treat and we know a lot of times, here, and I can speak specifically in the U.S., lots of celebrations involve food, right? Of various types and of various degrees, and they're represented differently in various cultures. But lots of times when there's a celebration of sorts, food is somehow involved. And I think that's one thing historically, talk about traditional parenting, the special things were oftentimes used as punishment. And so those things got on the, oh, if you don't do this, you can't get those treats.
Right.
Which means something for a kid. Not that they're always, you know, nutritious and healthy for them.
No.
Sometimes not. Right. But it is even about the routine of this is what we do, right? If this happens at this time in the routine of the ritual, then they get to be a part, and their behavior doesn't exclude them from being a part of that routine.
Right.
So that's one thing that I think about. It could be something like, oh, now I'm, nope, that left my brain.
Well, I was thinking as you were talking about, you know, the ritual of, let's say it's, we're going to bake cookies, and this is a thing, we're going to bake them and decorate them. And typically that would have been done after we have a big lunch, and then we would decorate the cookies, and then we would eat the cookies, and then that would be a thing. And we might start to look through the, if we look through that empowering lens, and then we layer on top of that willful versus survival. And I can understand that, that like, the expectation that after my kid eating the sugar, being able to regulate is not possible, right? That he is likely going to land in survival brain because of this activity, even though it's fun, even though I've proactively planned, even though I've said we're just going to eat one cookie, even though, when we pour sugar into the body, we create dysregulation. So instead, I might plan for a nice breakfast with some protein, make the cookies, eat the cookie, and then we're going to the park because we're going to go get some sensory input. We're going to get some play. We're going to get some fun. We're not going to be in an environment where the expectation is to be regulated. We expect upregulation. So we meet the need of upregulation. And then we come back to a place of calm when we get back home, where we can settle for the fun movie or whatever the next thing is of the day. But we're really thinking about that brain, the body, the biology, the behavior, the belief system. Because if I am the kid that for the first time ever has actually been allowed to indulge in the cookie, right, that impacts my belief system in a positive way. If I turn around and can't manage regulation and require co-regulation and get shame, then it's all gone.
Yeah.
It's all for nothing. You know what I mean? And so I just think about what are the opportunities we have to resort how we do things so that there's a natural place to manage dysregulation in a fun way. It's okay to be dysregulated at the park, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of the find a way to say yes, find a way to have the cookie, right? Mm-hmm. A cookie an hour before bed is probably not the way to set a kid up for success. Mm-hmm. A cookie at lunchtime or right immediately after lunch, where you have much more of the daylight hours, again, time to be dysregulated or upregulated, is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find a way for them to have the cookie.
And then we actually have to practice that. Like when we look into our correcting strategies, we have to be proactive in how we practice it. Like, oh, you know what? Tomorrow, we're going to make cookies, and it's going to be fun to have cookies, and we're going to give some of them as gifts. But remember what cookies do to our body, right? Like our kids can understand all of that. And I think the same thing goes if you're in a residential setting, a juvenile justice setting, somewhere where our kids are not going to spend the holiday with their family. Right now, you should be planning for dysregulation, because let me tell you what, it's going to happen. It's coming your way. And so how can we ensure that all of the kids get the experience of celebrating the holiday that's meaningful to them in a way that meets their needs without being punished for that, right? Like, it's coming. Anything else you can think of through the empowering?
No, but, and I think this is coming up, but as you're talking, I'm just thinking about how much energy and emotional resources and planning and consideration that the holidays just by themselves bring on top of everyday parenting.
Oh gosh.
Right? There's like all of the to-dos and things to consider and of everyday parenting. And hey, let's not forget about ourselves. We must not forget about ourselves. But then the holiday brings like this extra layer. And I'm not talking about one or two things, but it's many things. And so I'm just thinking about that parent who may be listening to this and saying, how am I supposed to do all this?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to do all this? And I just feel the need to validate, like, yes, mm-hmm. It is a lot.
It's a lot.
And guess what? You might not get everything, right? You just might. The chances are something's gonna you know, fall off the to-do list. You're gonna forget this, and there's gonna be something that you have to respond to. But I also want to say, if there's an opportunity, even to ask for help. So this goes back to our voice. So if there's somebody around who can, while you're taking care of Aunt Sally coming in town, or perhaps you have aging parents, or if it's the school system, you're in schools and you're preparing for end of semester tests and all of these other pressures. If there's somebody else that you can lock arms with to help you consider all of these things, that would be a great place to ask for help.
Yeah.
That it is a lot, and you don't have to do it on your own.
No. Yeah. And I keep thinking, like, one of the things that was very hard for me to figure out was that this picture that I had in my mind of all the things that we had to do for me to feel like a good enough mom, for my kids to have an amazing Christmas experience that they would dream about for years to come, mm-hmm. was actually not the recipe that they needed, right? They didn't need a million activities all day long, right? Like, there was the only boundary I put around it was glitter, because, you know, I hate it. I hate it. I can't,
you do.
I cannot do it. But I was trying so hard to do so many things that at the end of the day, really what mattered was that I was in tune to their needs and creating activities that met those needs. And the ironic thing is that I was even happier with those at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So whatever the picture was I had in my head was performative for me.
Yep.
It wasn't connecting. And so then I'd spend so much time, like you said, it might be that I said, you know what, this year we're not doing Christmas dinner at our house. One of the boundaries I started to put up actually early on that I figured out is that after the like chaos of Christmas morning in our family, we celebrate Christmas. I don't want to cook a meal.
Right.
I don't want to do it. Like, we had a big breakfast. I didn't want to cook a giant traditional, whatever that looked like in our family, meal. So we switched that. We're having coffee and dessert, hot chocolate and dessert, tea and dessert in the evening for anybody that would like to come over. But let me be very clear, there will not be real food there.
Right.
Like, it's not going to happen. So if your family hasn't eaten, please bring your own. No harm, no foul. But it was just a boundary. Like, I'm trying to do too much. What can I take off? And that was it. It was what had to go. So I like that idea of eliciting help and then simplifying your schedule.
Yeah.
What really at the end of the day brings joy, at least in my home, is when we're regulated and we haven't been fighting and I'm not disappointed about all the effort I put in that failed.
So. Yeah, that's good. We can miss it, right? You said the things that you had to do. Mm-hmm. Who said you had to do it?
Right. I did. It was me. Me and the Hallmark Channel, I guess. I don't know.
Me and TikTok.
Yeah. Oh. Instagram, the worst. Quit posting all your pretty pictures on Instagram.
Yeah, we can really miss what it's all about. right? A beautiful time to model. I mean, the holidays with the ritual, whatever holiday, whatever celebration. I mean, this is really a place to model and embody TBRI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The connectedness, the mindfulness, the rituals, all the, I mean, it's just the perfect space to embody all of TBRI.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was thinking as you were just talking that a friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, posted a video on Instagram of her like assembling a flower arrangement. And she said, like, it's not perfect, but it brought me joy or something to that effect in the caption. And I thought we should go for what brings me joy or what brings me peace or what brings me calm, because that's what I'm going to pass on to my kids, right? That they're going to feel that in me. If I'm stressed getting out of the door to go to the parade and the then we're set up for dysregulation because they're co-regulating off of me anyway. So I love that idea of like, I just took some time and I assembled this, and you know, my kids might knock it down in an hour, but for me, I had this time of peace and calm, and I really enjoyed it.
I love that. Love that.
What? So like, it is hard. You just said it, and I keep feeling it too. Like what we're even suggesting is hard. How do you think we figure out what our kids need? Like as I'm planning, because we also do have to proactively plan. Our families are going to, if they have kids that are coming home from school and not going to be going to school every day, like they're going to have to proactively plan those days a little bit. You know, their kids need to know what's coming. They're going to be dysregulated by the lack of routine. But how do I figure out, like, what do they need?
Yeah, I'm thinking about kids. I'm thinking about whomever may be in your space in the holiday season. When you can ask, I mean, it can be that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
To not presume that you have to do the big holiday meal, because sometimes people don't care. I remember one time we went out and had Chinese food, and it was and it was wonderful. We were the only ones in the restaurant. And it was great. There was no pressure, but to ask, you know, and they may say, "Oh, I don't know." But if you take a moment to lean in and provide a space for them to explore or suggest things for them to choose, that's also a great, again, getting in a rep of them thinking through what matters to them and what doesn't, and then having them share it with you. So asking for those who can share. And I mean, again, I'm talking about, because we're talking about holiday seasons and the season, and there can be a lot of interaction. This is for kiddos, but this is for adults too, right? I go back to a niece, a nephew who may get weirded out by Uncle Johnny's beard, right? Ask them, does that make you feel uncomfortable? Not to presume. Are you okay? Would you like to greet Uncle Johnny with me? I'll hold your hand and I can be there with you. But it's the little things and the big things. That's what I come up with. Ask.
I love that we
miss it a lot of times. And I think we presume, we're in our heads, we think about what we want. So, you know, there's this whole social media thing talking about point of view, right? And we are operating from our point of view. But again, we talked about mindfulness, where there's our point of view and everybody else in the room has a point of view and perspective. And when we can engage, that also tells them that they're important, right?
Absolutely.
I want to know what you think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the idea of, even maybe as the holidays are approaching and the kids are still in school, having some conversations about what are one thing, parents, whatever feels manageable to you. And I think this applies across all systems of care. I think you can do this in residential as well. It would probably be one thing you want to make sure you do in residential, but whatever number of things the adults feel like they can manage that you want to make sure we do during the holidays? What is important to you? What matters to you? And then it kind of like puts it out there of, this is what's important to everybody. So we start to see kind of some of the patterns. We see some of the expectations, some of the needs coming about. And I love the your idea of doing that through just letting them use their voice, right? So you tell me, and then as the adult, you might say, well, what we're going to do regarding screen time around the holidays mm-hmm. is this. What we're going to do around outside play around the holidays is this. And to like go ahead and build in some of those expectations, mm-hmm. what we're going to do around treats around the holiday. Everybody gets their number of treats a day. That's not going away. That mm-hmm. that could be just as, you know, the same as whatever protein snack you're getting, right? Like, mm-hmm. but we're not getting more or less, right? Like you could begin to set the expectations, but also the understanding that like, we want to meet your needs at the holidays. And maybe even what are some code words you could tell me mm-hmm. if we're somewhere that felt like it was going to be fun and you're getting dysregulated and you need a break. Love that idea. Yeah. Voice.
As well as asking what they don't like, because the don't like can tell you mm-hmm. proactively what might be a mm-hmm. trigger, mm-hmm. right? So what do you love about the holidays? What don't you like? If a kiddo is saying, I don't like when all the people come, right? I don't like when people, you know, play a game and the you know, noise is loud in the room. I don't mm-hmm. like when they make that funny dessert, right? Because it could right. be a sensory issue in their yeah. mouth, right? I don't know. It could be anything. Yeah. But that can help you in the investigation of what may be dysregulating for the people around you.
So if I have a kid that says, I don't like going to the big family dinner, and I investigate that more and I try to understand, well, I don't like that people automatically hug me, or I don't like that the noise is loud, or I don't like the food, or I don't like so-and-so's beard, right? As the caregiver, what do I do? Yeah. Do I skip? Do I go?
Find them a way to get them the cookie, right? Find a way.
Yeah.
You see the need, you meet a need, and find a way, really. Because that kid is not just being a brat. That kid is not being difficult. It goes to willful versus survival, right? It's not being difficult. It's not giving you a hard time, but it's potentially trying to ward off having a hard time.
Right.
And kids do not want to have full meltdowns.
No.
Just like us as adults don't want to lose our crap in front of our colleagues.
Right.
Like, we don't want to have a meltdown. That doesn't feel good to us. The kids don't either. And so if they're saying this, find a way. I don't know what that looks like. It might be that kid comes for a little while, says hi, and leaves. Or if there's an upstairs, or right, is with the people but has a place of solitude where they can manage the amount of input that mm-hmm. feels okay. That makes sense. And I think they have a right to feel that, just like we do, right? If we're honest with ourselves, I'll speak for me, I guess. There's a point where all of us get to too much. Mm-hmm. And what do mm-hmm. we do? We try to negotiate that and take care of our needs, whatever that looks like. So kids have too much. They have a point of too much. And so if they say that up front, I think it's really important to honor that. Why? Because that's an opportunity to build trust. If you are able to honor their need and make sure that they feel emotionally safe in that space, it's an opportunity to build trust. And then they can tell you more in time. Yeah, well, I also, this bothers me, or this is too much. And that's really what we want to, what we want is to build that healthy, trusting relationship with any adult, whoever it is.
Yeah. And I think to add on to what you've said, adult if a child comes to you and says, these are the things I don't like, they feel safe with you. So pat yourselves on the back. Like, they trust you enough to share that. That's a vulnerable thing to share. They're saying, I don't want to use my behavior to get my needs met. I'm coming to you to help me and say what doesn't feel good to me about this. I'm trusting you. I'm not just trying to get out of something that feels more like an adult activity than a kid activity. I'm telling mm-hmm. you literally because I'm trusting you and I'm feeling safe with you. And I feel like I can say these words and you're going to hear them. And so I love the solutions of like, is there another room? Like, this is a time I would pull out the technology. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do our best to sit through dinner. Do you want to sit beside me or do you want to sit at the kids' table? Mm-hmm. Once we get some protein in, you're allowed to have your whatever device, your headphones, and be in a quiet place. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to let the family know ahead of time, hey, guys, guess what? We're working really hard on using our voice and regulation. So-and-so would prefer that you just give them a high five when you see them. Mm-hmm. And they're going to do their best to sit through dinner and regulate through dinner. And then after that, I'm going to let them go in a quiet space. And then I'm going to check mm-hmm. on them every few minutes and prepare the family for what's going on. Because above all, when our long, like our vision is healing, this is a small but big moment on that journey.
Yes.
Right. And so then next year, maybe he stays for the whole dinner and a game. Maybe he just stays for the whole dinner, but we're going to start to see baby steps forward if we listen to their voices and allow their needs to be met versus fighting them. Because for me, Kim, I would be so worried about what every adult around that table is thinking Ooh, about me.
That's good.
And then it ruins my whole holiday because I'm so focused on what everybody thinks of me. I don't do a good job of meeting the kids' needs, which is actually what my heart wants to do. But I get caught up and then I feel bad for not meeting their needs. I feel bad for looking like a failure. I feel right. Like all of that gets wrapped up into it. And so I think if we can even proactively set the bar for the places we're going to go, that can help a lot because it lowers the bar for what we're going to do. We're saying, mm-hmm. this is how we're doing this. Mom, dad, you know what? I know that does not fit within your normal thing that kids should just sit at the table for the whole meal and be grateful. But we're not going to do that. He's mm-hmm. already grateful for your food. Thank you.
Amen. You period. Yes. Okay. I know we got questions, but okay. Let me just throw this in there.
Okay.
Because I keep going back to mindfulness, and maybe uh-huh. this is just where I am in my own journey, being really honest with myself and leaning in to myself. So those thoughts may come up for people. Like, what do I do? Am I going to be judged? Right. And listen, let me just say that holidays bring something for us as adults as well. Mm-hmm. So we're not only managing and supporting that of the kids that are in our care, but we're also managing, listen, sometimes our history shows up at the dinner table. Well,
and
then
what?
You know what I mean? It's like, hold up. I got my stuff. I got their stuff. What do I do?
Yeah.
And I think acknowledging that in as much as you can, we always talked about proactive. Mm-hmm. So if a sister, a parent, a step parent, you know there's tension and history with, you're going to be in their presence, but you're also responsible for a young person and helping them manage their stuff. You got to come up with a plan proactively, because yeah. in the heat of the moment, we may not make the best decision that you're going to be happy with after the fact.
Right.
You know, that's the thing about the holidays. It brings up a lot for lots of people on various levels.
Yep. Oh, it's just so fascinating because, you know, we even run around, right? Like,
How was your Thanksgiving? How was your holiday season? Happy this, happy that, right? Like all the things. And so many people, it's a really, really hard time for. And I think the more that we're honest about that, truly, it's like the further along we're going to get into creating a time of year that is truly joyful for many of us. Mm-hmm. I think that it's so much work and it's so much planning, and the expectations can be so high, whether from without or within, right? That we do a thing and it's like, I just like the idea of being mindful even into what my needs are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my needs might be that we're not going to the big family thing this year. Like, we'll see you on another day. You want to have a play date with all the kids where they can actually mm-hmm. run and not have this expectation. We're cooking. We're not cooking. We're having peanut butter and jelly, or we're having pizza, or, you know, like being mindful with our feelings and then meeting the needs of our feelings too.
Yes. 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 I think about the holiday season and how, while we say happy this and merry that, for many people, it's not.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is the time where they grieve loss mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. even kids in care. Right. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. They have a whole family of origin.
Right.
Period. And although we're happy, maybe in our ugly holiday sweaters, they can be thinking about their Nana or their mm-hmm. dad or their auntie and their house and their puppy and their siblings. And so it's not happy.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's not happy. And I think for people who are listening, listen, as a clinician, you have permission to not be so merry. Mm. You have permission.
Oh, man.
So while everybody else is listening to Jingle Bells, to lay on your bed and cry and feel those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have permission. Just like we would have and tell a kiddo that if they hurt, it's okay to cry, mm-hmm. right? It's okay to be sad. And for adults, I think sometimes we need permission for that too, especially around this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so important. And maybe even that's part of our sort of proactive planning, is being honest about that. You know, the holidays actually might be hard for our family because, you know, we're a family and you have a biological family you won't be with, and that might make you sad. I'm sad too that you can't be with your biological yes. family. I'm sad anytime any one of my kids are hurting, right?
Yes.
I'm sad that my parents are no longer here to celebrate with, yeah. right? Like, we can talk about all of those things because we're all feeling them.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are feeling ours, right? We're dysregulated because of it. And I just am so grateful that you just gave people permission, because I think it's really, really important
yeah.
That we do allow those feelings. And as a modestly reformed, dismissive person, that can be hard to say, because I also know how easy it is to yank out all of my dismissive tendencies around this time of year.
Yeah.
And then I tend to just lose it at some point when something hasn't gone right. And it's typically something stupid, like uh-huh. about the dishwasher, right? Like or yeah. the clothes weren't switched from the washer, like, right? Like it's something stupid that doesn't matter. And yeah. it's never what it's about.
Mm-mm.
It's never what it's about.
Mm-mm.
Thank you for doing that. I feel like you just gave me permission to do that yeah. too. And so yeah. I'll be right back.
Commercial break.
All right, commercial break. If I, I was thinking about this of, you know, a lot of events come up, parties, kids even have birthdays around the holidays, those kinds of things. How much notice should I give my kids that those are coming? And then what if I don't think they can handle it?
Oh, that's good. Oh.
Sorry, I went off script.
We don't.
That's what we do, Sarah.
Yeah, disclosure for the listeners is we don't have a script, not on this one.
No,
not on any of them, really.
Really good.
Because it can feel like a punishment, right? Like you're not going because
it can. But my mind wants to take me back to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my mind wants to take me to safety and structure, and that no is not a bad word. And I never want to set my kid up. I never want to say yes to feel like a good, quote unquote, good parent and set them up
mm-hmm.
for a full come apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I may find a way to compromise, perhaps.
Hey.
I don't know. I'm thinking out loud. I mean, just like a kid who wants the car and can't drive, I would say no, but I'll take you somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think.
What are you? Go ahead. Sorry, I had an idea.
Shoot, go.
I'm shooting off the hip too.
Go.
But I wonder if it's a party at a friend's house where we can see the writing on the wall, you know, like it's so exciting that our kid has been invited because often they aren't. We want mm-hmm. to honor that invitation, but I can't help but wonder if we could work with the other parent and talk about another time we could gather to celebrate mm-hmm. just with the two of them or with your two families together. Like we want to honor his birthday. We want to celebrate with him. We want, bottom line, we also want to, this child to have the experience of celebrating and doing that with a friend, but we're just afraid that like it's not going to be good for anybody if we show mm-hmm. up to this party.
I think that's an awesome compromise because at the end of the day, the kid gets that relationship, he gets to celebrate, to have fun, mm-hmm. all of the things. It's just, I mean, it's the same. A different time to have a cookie,
mm-hmm.
right? We're
right,
gonna have
right.
a cookie.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
just gonna not put it here and put yeah. it there. It's a yes, and it's a yeah. yes. You can have it, and we're gonna have it here. Yes, you can go to the. You can celebrate with your friend, and you're gonna do it on Wednesday instead of Saturday afternoon after you've been having all this input. It's
yeah.
a yes, and yeah, I love that. And I'll go back to, if a person is having a hard time saying no, you got to ask yourself why.
Right.
Mm. Why are you having a hard time saying that the kid cannot, young person cannot go to the party? Were you always told no?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so your kid gets blanket yes, even if it's not good for them, mm-hmm. right? That's we need nurture and structure,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is just a structured decision. Mm-hmm. It's a structured decision. It's not a punishment. It's not,
right.
you're not a bad person or a parent because it's a structured decision. Just
right.
like a kid has to go to bed. He can't stay up all night.
Right.
Nope.
And we can talk about disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like it's okay. I mean, I was thinking like, you know, we can talk about that because of our kids' experiences, their brains are trained to go to the downstairs brains when many other people that look, sound, act, or in the same grade as them don't do that. There's a reason for that. Your experiences have driven you to a place of keeping yourself safe. Like there's a mm-hmm. reason that you react faster than other people. We're working on making decisions that help create that neural pathway to your upstairs brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
It's not your
fault. Right? It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. But because of those things, we are going to do things a little differently so that you can be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we want, is for you to have fun doing this thing with these people, whatever it is. But that environment's not good for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
good. And if you're having that conversation, that means you're close to your kiddo who's having a hard time, which mm-hmm. is so, I mean, that's,
yeah.
this is what I'm talking about. The holidays are just the perfect time to
yep.
model all of this.
Yes.
Yes, buddy, you are disappointed. And I'm sorry that you feel that way. And this is what we need to do together. And we're working on it. And I see your progress. And, you know, yes, they can feel that. We want to give them permission even to feel the disappointment. And you being disappointed and crying does not dysregulate me. So I'm going to stay away from you. You go to your bedroom and feel disappointed. I'll be in the kitchen cooking
right.
and doing my holiday shopping on Amazon. No. We catch the opportunity. Catch the opportunity to bring your calm. Bring your calm to a kid who's having a hard time and help them through that. Just like anything else.
I feel like you literally just peeked behind in the curtain into my house last week. I was literally shopping on Amazon when there may have been a kid who needed my attention differently, and no lie, my brain went to like, I'm literally trying to shop for you right now.
Right. Wait a minute. It's for you. We're going to give you stuff.
This isn't enough. Right.
That's what we do.
They're like, but I'm sad. And I'm like, but I'm just being dismissive right now because I'm trying to complete a task. It's so easy. And in the middle of it, I looked over and I was like, you know what, Sarah? Right now you should need to put your phone down. Because you know what is not going anywhere is Amazon.com. That is not going to place. But I have a moment to keep this kid safe and to keep this kid close and to build connection, mm-hmm. which can be fleeting mm-hmm. if we're not. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Y'all tradition. Know me. I'm a storyteller. Oh. Okay, well, one story.
Okay.
This is good.
Please.
Because we all have moments. And I think there's something mm-hmm. healing in sharing our moments where Absolutely. We're wrestling through it in real time. So my eldest daughter was having a hard time. She found out some bad news Sunday morning as I'm getting ready for church. So people who know me, if you've heard me, right, know I'm a preacher's kid. And, you know, my faith is really important to me. But it was also the thing that supported my dismissiveness between me, myself and my parents. And so as I'm getting ready for church and talking to her at the same time, right? I'm kind of listening and kind of uh-huh. like trying to put on my foundation and stuff. Right. And literally, it's like you have that moment, like, stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. Your baby is crying, right? The infant attachment cycle. Your baby is crying. You're trying to tell me you're going to go to put your makeup on and go to church? And I literally stopped, told my husband, I'm going across town. He's like, you're not going to church? I said, no, my daughter needs me in this moment. I'm going to drive across town and give her a hug because that's what she needs. Y'all, this is what it's all about, right? Oh,
I got little tears.
This is what it's all about. The moments where we can repair, the moments, like you said, it's so easy to fall into the habit, but when we can catch ourselves, y'all, we need to be able to celebrate that. Just like we catch our kids having a win, mm-hmm. we catch them doing good mm-hmm. and they have a temper tantrum for 2 minutes instead of 20 minutes. And we're like, yes, you recovered quickly, right? We got to give ourselves a little pat on the back too. Yeah. Like I chose my daughter. Mm-hmm. I made the right choice yep. today over something else that's important to me, but she's more important right. to me, right? So, right, Emma, you chose to respond to your baby's yeah. cry over spending too much money on Amazon. Yes.
Thank you. I think it's fascinating, though, because, like, for me, and I think for you, too, church would be the time where I would get fed, right? It's yep. the time where I can just, like, nobody's asking anything of me. And even like your daughter knows that, and she's calling anyway because her voice works with you, mm. and she has the trust that you're going to show up, mm-hmm. right? But my gut says she probably didn't expect you to show up right then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just am trying to imagine her face when you open the, when she opened the door, mm-hmm. and you're standing there ready to give her a hug.
Yeah.
And just the, just how good that felt, mm. right? I was seen, I was heard, my needs were met, my mom values me above all, she's here for me, right? Like, and mm-hmm. that's not a compromising of your faith
Mm-mm.
at all. That's actually at acting all. It's acting out your faith in Absolutely. Many ways, right? And so wow, it's so hard. I mean, look, that's like in the last week for both of us. And let me tell you, there will be an opportunity today for me too. I promise you that. I have one more thing I want to chat about real quick. And I know that we're getting long on time here, but or short on time, I guess. So we talk about rituals. Mm-hmm. We talk about traditions in TBRI. What do you think about making new ones for kids that or maybe in our home only for a season? Should we start new traditions? What do you think?
Oh, I think absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm taken back to my days of foster care. Mm. And some kiddos, you know, never decorating a Christmas tree, the things that we may take for granted. So we know the power of rituals and traditions. We know their power and what it can do to that interpersonal relationship, even in that moment, right? That sense of togetherness, mm-hmm. whether it's baking cookies or every year we go to the zoo together and they look, or the parade together. It's something good to look forward to, which I feel like is an opposite of trauma, mm-hmm. that is usually negative and unexpected.
Agreed.
So this is something positive to look forward to versus a removal that I didn't know about, mm-hmm. or the death of my parent, mm-hmm. or the, right? So I think it's the balancing, right? The answer, the response to trauma. And that's why it can be so healing. And therefore we should find a way to build whatever it is. It's, you know, like a couple years ago, people started doing some people, I didn't do it. The matching pajamas. Did you uh-huh, see that trend uh-huh. that went around?
Uh-huh. We are matching.
No. I bet you didn't do it either.
No.
But nope. I thought it was cool, right? Like,
yeah.
You take a family picture and everybody has on matching pajamas. You yeah. watch a movie together. My sister watches Christmas movies, right? Every year, all year. That's her thing. It can be yeah. anything. It doesn't have to be great or grand.
Yeah.
But absolutely, because of the power of connection that comes in that single moment that you cannot undo. You cannot undo that.
Can I share with you one of the coolest traditions I ever saw a foster family do?
Tell me.
So every year their family tradition was to make each member of the family made a new ornament. And oh, yeah. whatever fashion they did that, whether it was like a little kit that you painted or I don't know. Anyway, every single year, every family member, it was one of their family activities and they made a new ornament. For the kids that were not at that time permanently in their home, they had a choice of whether they wanted to make one ornament or two or three or however many, but one ornament, because they're a member of their family right now, will stay with our tree because we will always consider you a member of our family. Even though you might want to take one if you go back to your family of origin, or if you go forward into another family, you might want to have a matching one and we'll write on the back of it and just like what year it was and all that stuff. And I thought, what a way to say you belong. You belong here. And we recognize that this isn't the only place you belong. And I just thought it was so dear. If they wanted to send one to their biological family, if that was an option, they allowed that. It was so inclusive, yet such a moment of saying, here you are. Mm-hmm. You are right here. doing this with us, and we are right here doing this with you, and you're a part. So as you were chatting, it just, I hadn't thought about that in years, but I thought it was such a special thing.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a cool one. Man, Kim, we could do this all day long.
Please don't go. Don't go.
Why? I'm not surprised that you broke into song. It makes me so happy. Oh, thanks for being here, my friend. I am glad to see you.
Always and anytime.
We'll do it again.
Yes. Happy holidays, whatever those look like to you and yours, y'all.
Amen. Happy holidays, everybody.
The TBRI podcast is produced by the Care and Purpose Institute of Child Development at TCU. To learn more about TBRI and the resources mentioned in this episode, please visit child.tcu.edu/podcast.